Evening, Thomas.
I wouldn't be rude, I'm sorry.
I'd be as bad as Don if I had one of those sent back to pictures to you. I'd never put the phone down.
It's 7 o'clock.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a beautiful, beautiful day the Lord gave us today. Just glad to have y'all with us. Those of you tuning in live, we just love to see you this evening. Just welcome, welcome, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villarica. And also those that are watching at a later date. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God knows who that family is. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else on my right side? Miss Tabitha? Absolutely. You can only imagine. Absolutely. Anyone else, the congregation, have spoken prayer requests tonight? All righty. Anyone up on the roster? Did I miss somebody? Oh, Sister Linda, I'm sorry. You got to wave at me. Throw something at me. There you go. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely. Anyone?
Yeah, keep remembering my coworker in second
class.
Yes. Not looking good for him right now, but I know God can change it. Lays the doctors go, so they're just not giving a whole lot of hope. So. Thanks, Todd.
Todd. This is Penny.
And Sister Wendy texts me, every one of her kids are sick. So she asked us to remember them.
And I saw us. Sister Alice posted right before we got here that her daughter's
Grace.
Running a temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And Little Grace, too.
And Little Grace, too.
She's
absolutely. Absolutely. If you have it unspoken, just show by raising your hand. Well, let's all stand, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, dear Lord, for allowing us to just to come into your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we gather together, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord. Let we just pray, dear Lord, for your Holy Spirit to have a free reign amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord. May we just release anything that's tying us down or burden or sickness or illness that's coming against us or anyone in our congregation or watching online, dear Lord. We just ask you to touch each and every situation. Dear Lord, you've heard those spoken prayer requests, dear Lord. We know that you're bigger than the virus. You're bigger than fevers. You're bigger than sinus issues. You're bigger than each situation, dear Lord, and for that child that's missing this evening, dear Lord, we ask that you'll just bring her home, dear Lord, safely, dear Lord, give her family peace, and for that loved one that's passed on, dear Lord, that you'll be with that family, and for that little one that's sick. But, dear Lord, we just love and praise you, and we just thank you for hearing our prayers. always being there for us, dear Lord, and we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. We're going to do a familiar one. We haven't done it in a few little while, and I've been kind of trying to jump around to some different songs, but turn to page 120. I love Victory in Jesus. I love that song. And it's a beautiful rendition the way that the Lord just gives it to me. Victory in Jesus, page 120. All the prayer requests. It's hard for me sometimes just to put all the names in it, but I do know there are also those in the church that are traveling that have lost a loved one for a funeral this preparing to leave, if they're not already on the road. So many other situations, and let's just, as we said earlier, we're giving it to God, and we have, and just with faith, we're just going to ask the Lord just to touch. Got a couple of quick announcements before we do the offering tonight. And for those of you, and I know there's a few have already contacted Miss Elaine, but this is the evening. If you had any goods to turn in, to would like to for the shoe boxes and the Operation Christmas Child, it's a wonderful thing. We started stacking stuff over in the Curtis Center, getting ready for the packing party. It'll be Saturday the 13th, this coming Saturday at 2 p.m. Anyone like to help, just get with Miss Elaine, and she'll kind of give you the details and all. So we're just really excited about it. And again, we just want to thank everybody for all your contributions and your love. And this church has never, never, ever ceased to amaze me and the number of the congregation, but how great God takes what's given and just multiplies it and just is able to use it for so many things. Also, for the ministry that's going to West Virginia, they're in need of some goodies that they're going to be taking up. And I say goodies. Actually, the two items she's got written here is like 7th and 8th grade age. And she's asking for deodorant and body wash are the two items that she sent me a list of some other things. But these are the ones she personally wrote down and handed to me Sunday. And also, there's going to be a paint party November 20th at 4 p.m. And that they're going to have snacks and drinks. And the price, if you'd like to do, and all of it that can, the, you know, the profit will go to this ministry. And it's $45. But if you have any questions, they said everything's furnished from what I understand. Miss Penny's helping me keep up with it. Any other announcements? I don't want to miss anything. Oh, wow. You want to, so we can get it on out?
Our Thanksgiving dinner is next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Isn't that the week before Thanksgiving? Good next week? Yep. Okay. Bring a lot of food.
Bring a lot of food. It'll be a lot of fun, too. A lot of time.
What? I can't believe the holidays are here as we talk about it. I know. But the Lord is great. God is great. So we're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please? I bet you I've got a young man right there. Is going to come first, and then Sister Linda, if you would, and then Miss Tabitha, okay? Thank y'all. I give a lot of notice. Is this one on?
Praise the Lord. I hate it when she tells me what to do. You know what, first of all, I really want to be on a serious note. I am thankful to God that I am here. Not only am I in church, but I mean I am here on earth. You know, we have heard of so much sickness and so much death that, I mean, every time you turn around, somebody else. Got to be a close relative. It can be a friend. It can be a neighbor. Every time you turn around, this lady I went and seen tonight, I was talking to her husband, and I don't know where it is in the Bible. I just know what it is. It talks about, I believe it's in Matthew, where it talks about I'm being in the field, one taken, one not. You know what? we used to look at, or I did, I used to look at life, you know, Lord, don't let me take it for granted, but it didn't get to me as much, if that makes sense to you. Now it's like, Lord, let me wake up in the morning. Let me wake up, because you never know. There's people going to sleep and not waking up. And I don't know about y'all, but it's a little terrifying. Not that I'm not right. You know I'm going to heaven when God calls me home and all, but I don't see none of us in line to get ready to go. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean by a little terrifying. You just don't know. But I am so thankful to be able to stand on God's green earth. I am just beyond thankful. And I talked to a young man tonight at the funeral home. I knew him pretty good. And I said, it was his grandmother that had passed away. And I asked him, I said, are you going to church yet? And he said, let that man smile. And he was standing behind his granddaddy, and his granddaddy's a pastor. And he said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm telling you, you better get your life right. And April, she was standing right here beside me, and the granddaddy looked at April, and he said, are you still going to church? I said, no, she ain't going to church. And she said, well, Mama, you know, I do sometimes. No, she's not going. You know what? Them grown kids, that's one thing, Sister Penny, but I worry about my grandkids because they can't drive. You know, I try to get my grandkids here, and I know a lot of y'all out here, y'all try to get y'all's grandkids, but there's no reason why. And this is the altar call. I think God's given us an altar call, Sister Brenda. We better be ready. And people's just going by like it ain't nothing. I didn't mean to say all that, but you know what? There's going to come a day. They ain't going to be no more days. They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I can understand. For the things that make us cry won't be found in that land. There'll be no pain or sorrow, and we'll never be sad again. It's a place of peace and rest, and the joy will never end. It'll be hard to when we finally step inside and see our loved ones there. It's been so long, and when I walk up to his throne and feel the joy I've never known, it'll be hard, so very hard, not to cry. Now you can say that I'm emotional. Crying's always been easy for me. Whether because my heart is heavy or my joy, it's sadly. So I will pray that when I get there, realize my race is through. It'll be hard to hold the tears back when it all comes into view. It'll be hard not to cry when we finally step inside and see our loved ones there. It's been so long, and when I walk up to his throne and feel the joy I've never known, it'll be hard, so very hard, not to cry. It'll be hard, so very hard, not to cry.
Oh, my Lord, I feel so good. I feel so good. I am so blessed. Y'all look wonderful. You look wonderful to me, and I didn't have to drive 12 hours to get here. So that is just super duper, let me tell you. Oh, my goodness, God is so good. God is so good, Sister Penny. He really is. He kept his hand on us whenever we traveled, and we were there with the families that had lost their loved ones, and it was so sad, so sad. A 52-year-old woman left three sons and a husband and a grandbaby because of COVID. Another one taken out because of COVID. Oh, dear God, our God is greater than COVID. He has conquered this world, people. I know I'm talking to the choir tonight, praise the Lord. And he knows everything that is going on. And one day, one glorious day, we're going to reach that place called heaven, and we're not going to be able to cry. It's going to be hard. Like the song said, it's going to be hard not to cry. We just break up and cry right now, don't we? But I can't imagine being in the presence of God without at least shedding one tear. But I am looking forward to walking all over heaven with each and every one of you. Y'all worship as I try to sing. I want to stroll over heaven with you. If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for the favor of him, the immortal King. I'm sure he'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come that morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew. While I stroll over heaven with you, oh, I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all my troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then I'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things
yes, amen. One more time.
I want to stroll vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
wanted to testify tonight. A lot of Brother Eddie's messages has just really been touching my heart lately. And I was thinking about what he said Sunday about when you testify, don't let it be that you're standing up here saying this is wrong, that's wrong, whatever, but to give praise to the Lord for what he's done. And most of you know that Chris hasn't been able to eat but just a handful. Well, the other Sunday night, Brother Eddie put the Bible on his belly, and Sunday night I seen him eat the most I've seen him eat in a long time. And he told me, he said he knowed that the Lord touched him inside and that he was able to eat without pain. So I'm thankful for that. So I just want to give God the praise for touching his body.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. Praise God. And you've been missed too. Y'all been missed.
Praise God.
Amen.
Getting ready to leave this world. It's not a bad thing, by the way. Amen. When we read of the promise that God has made for us and what the Lord has prepared for us, man, it's going to be a better thing. Amen. And the devil tries to use that sometime, you know. Like death is the end or the final. It's nothing more than the first day of eternity. So just tell old Satan, like you said, get behind me, Satan. You're not going to use that on me. I'd like for Sister Penny to testify, if she would, about.
Well, I don't know if y'all noticed Kevin had been coughing a lot. Y'all probably didn't notice it, but anyway. Last week, we went on vacation, and Brenda called us Tuesday or Wednesday and said he was just coughing, just constantly coughing. So I told her to put the oxygen on him, leave it on him for a while, and then she did that, and it settled him down a little bit, but then he's coughing again. You know. Anyway, this went on. We got home Friday. He coughed all day Friday. It's pretty much constant coughing. Saturday, same thing. Sunday morning, same thing. So did you tell Tony? Anyway, Eddie wanted to have a prayer cloth anointed for Kevin Sunday night, and Tony put it on him after they anointed it. On the way home, he didn't really cough, maybe once. And we left it on him all night long Sunday night. No coughing. All day Monday, no coughing. And so it's been like that. He's still got the prayer cloth on him now. I put it on under his T-shirt so it wouldn't get lost. And he's coughed, you know, his normal coughing, which he coughs all the time, but just a normal, you know, he'll cough and then a while later he'll cough. But that prayer cloth really works. In case anybody don't believe in prayer cloths, they really work. So if anybody needs one, you need to have it anointed because it really does work. And I just thank God for that because, you know, sometimes you just cough, 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 cough. You can't even get your breath. And he don't get enough oxygen as it is, and he don't really need to cough a lot. But I just thank God for that.
Faith works, amen. You know, it's not the actual cloth, we know that, and it's not the actual oil, but it's the faith that's put into that, amen, and the faith to believe that the Lord can do those things that we can, and if we pray and release our faith to Him, nothing is impossible with God. Well, it's good to see you tonight. Appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. Looking forward to a great time in the Lord. The seasons are coming up, and this precious lady that just testified, I love her dearly, and she's got a birthday coming up, and I'm not going to share with you how old it is. It's, you know, she was born 19-something, and but we took her to, well, last year, and I'm just going to leave this with you. Last year, I bought her a gun, you know, just for the times that I'm away and all, and just to make her feel a little safe. So this year, I bought her a laser to go on the gun. And I told Penny, I said, now, when you get comfortable with that, next year on your birthday, I'll buy you some bullets. So she already knows what she's going to get for her birthday next year, good Lord willing. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad she's got a sense of humor. She's put up with me for several years, so we know she does have a sense of humor. I mean, God's good, isn't he? I said God's good all the time. Praise the Lord. We're not all the time, but God is good all the time, and we can go to him anytime. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want to read two verses of Scripture. Then we're going to do something a little out of the ordinary. In times past, we've used the board over there, but I want to use it tonight if we possibly can to maybe make some notes that we feel that the Lord has led us in a different direction. And just as plain as anything, today the Lord spoke to me concerning this situation. And I'm not going to dump it all on you to start with, but I want to share a little bit with you after we read the Scriptures. But it's found in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, in chapter number 17, verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah, chapter number 17, verses 7 and 8. You can read along with us if you would. It said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your amazing grace. For those who have gathered here tonight, and Father, I pray, God, that you would just pour out your anointing and your spirit, God, upon each and every one here. We do remember those who are sick, those who are afflicted. Already, Lord, we've heard of so much tragedy, so much death. And Father, we pray for the comfort of those loved ones now. Just reach down and touch them, strengthen and comfort them, Lord. Bless those in the hospitals and the nursing homes, God, those who stand in need of prayer. And Father, I ask you now, God, just to anoint these lips of clay. God, to speak that you would have us to hear tonight, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And we'll give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read those same passages of Scripture tonight from the Amplified King James Version, and just goes in just a little bit more detail. It says, "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaves shall be green, it shall not be anxious, and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease in yielding fruit." Just, Sister Brent, I'm going to share just one little thing with us. Today when I came home, I had dropped Penny off to get her nails done, so I came home to drop off some things and then to go back and get her a little bit later. And Sister Brenda asked that we could pray right then for the situation with this little child that needed prayer. And when she began to relate to me, you know, you feel sometimes a little helpless because you just want to make things better. And we know that only God can do that. And we talked about the will of God and how that we need to pray and how should we pray. Do we pray for the complete healing of this child? Do we pray for, Lord, it's in your hands, you know better than us? And you know, I made the statement, you know, sometimes you really don't know what to do. You just say, Lord, you know, here's the situation. You know all about it. I want to release it into your hands. So we prayed that prayer of comfort and peace and for God to have his will and his way. And I went on about my business. And as I was traveling down the road, God just began to, I just kind of feel this empty head of mine. And thoughts just kept flying through my mind. And tonight, for the message title, it's simply this, and I handed it to Brother Greg, and he said, I don't know if I can get it all on there or not, so I don't know if they did, but if I had a text, it would be, what to do when you don't know what to do? What to do when you don't know what to do? And I began to think about it, began to read some scriptures, began to look at some reference books and things. You know, really, there is something to do when we don't know what to do. But the problem is, so many times, we do the first thing that the instantly comes to our mind, and it's not always the right thing to do. So I want to share with you tonight. So as we ask this question, what do you do when trouble catches you unaware? You know, trouble doesn't, at least it doesn't announce a schedule with me. Trouble doesn't call me up and say, what you doing next Tuesday? Because you better be praying, because I'm going to hit you with some problems. Doesn't really happen that way. If it did, we probably would be prepared. We'd probably say, well, you know what, it's Monday night. And trouble said he was coming Tuesday, so, you know, kind of like I used to cram for the test when I instead of preparing a week in advance when we already had the schedule, Brother Keith, a lot of times I'd wait till the last night. And I had a purpose for that because I thought to myself it'd be more fresh on my mind, when in reality I was lazy and I waited till the last minute to do that, to cram. And I'm afraid sometimes we as Christians kind of do the same thing with God. We don't know when trouble is going to hit. But we know we can be prepared. So we know there are things that we can do. What do we do when accidents happen? Daddy had a very good saying. He said, accidents, that's the reason they call them accidents and not mean-tos. Man, how many didn't mean to have an accident, but the accident happened? And doesn't it happen in the most inconvenient times? The accidents that we happen, whether it's us or somebody else or whatever the situation is. Had we known in advance when the accident was going to take place, chances are we probably would have been a little bit more prepared. And if you catch me saying the word prepare tonight, it is for a purpose and a reason. Because that's one of the things that we can do in preparation, even for the unseen things that we may face. What do you do when sickness or affliction hits you suddenly? Again, without advance warning. You know, tonight we've heard the testimonies, and, you know, testimonies talking about death is sad to our flesh. We never, ever are really comfortable with death, or at least, in my flesh, I'm not. Even knowing that the person is ready to meet the Lord, even knowing they've got a better place to go to, there's still something that in the flesh causes pain and sadness and sorrow and grief at death. But there is even a way to be prepared for that, even when death is sudden. And I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. What do you do when split-second decisions must be made? I don't know about you, but I like to think things over. I don't like to make rash decisions. I don't like to make quick, split-second decisions. Sometimes we have to. Probably every one of us could think of several times when we didn't have advance notice. We didn't have time to mull it over, didn't have time to think about it, or even find the Bible and run reference on it. We had to make a decision instantly. But there is something that we can do even in those situations. And finally, what do we do when bad news arrives uninvited? Don't think any of us give an open invitation to bad news. Anybody in the house like just really love to hear bad news? Probably not. Now, we invite good news. But in reality, many knows that there's bad news in the world today, bad news in our life, and bad news in situations that we must face. But yet, what do? When we don't know what to do, there's something we can do. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. So Brother Jim's going to help me out tonight with some writing. So I want you to write those things down. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those things down. And there's a reason for writing them down. I read once that you remember what you see a lot longer than what you hear. So as we see these things written down, then that triggers what we the thought that I believe that the Lord has laid on our heart tonight. And the things that we heard tonight, I just couldn't help but say, Lord, your timing is perfect, I believe. Because I think that I believe if we study this in depth tonight, I think we can be prepared for things that are unscheduled. So we'll put it that way. So go ahead and let's put down trouble. And after trouble, accidents with two C's, A-C-C-I-D-E-N-T-S. Isn't it strange that dents are put in accidents? That's just a little slip of the tongue there, you know. Dents are put in accidents. And then sickness, certainly. Does anybody raise their hand and say, I've never been a sick a day in my life? Probably not. Something that we all have to deal with. Decisions, D-E-C-I-S-I-O-N-S. And we're not concerned about our spelling. I always tell somebody when I misspell something, that's shorthand. And then bad news. Bad news will be the final thing. Okay, first of all, we're going to address some things that you can't do. And I think more or less many, many times we actually do things that we shouldn't do when we face these situations. Sometimes we do things knowing better. Sometimes we do things that said, I wish I hadn't acted that way. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I'd have handled that in a different way. Now, has anybody in the house ever thought that? I wish I'd have handled that in a different way. Amen. I may need to get this because I'm being stepping away from the mic tonight. So here's three things you cannot do in handling trouble, accidents, sickness, decisions, or bad news. First of all, you can't run away and hide. Probably at one particular time, many people have tried to do that. And I'm not talking about just hiding your eyes. Sometimes people will absolutely do things to their body, ingest things, put things into their body to forget pain, to forget having to do the, or face this trouble or situations. Some people even blame it on, I get to a point where I just can't handle it. So that's the reason I turn to whatever substance they turn to. But that never fixes the troubles. That never addresses the accidents. In fact, it may increase the opportunity for you to be involved in an accident. Certainly does not cure sickness. It may make you feel better for a while. But I've heard many, many times the sickness and the pain is much worse after the fact. Not only can you handle split decisions, sometimes you can't handle decisions at all when you try to run away and hide from these things. And certainly bad news is going to come whether or not you're sober or not, or whether or not you're injected with these things. So you can't run away. You can't go to sleep. You can't just shut your mind to it and say, you know what, I'm just not going to handle it today. You know, we have to go ahead and face those things because we don't have the opportunity of putting them off or saying, you know what, I'm just going to forget about it and hope it goes away. And you certainly can't wish away your problems. I have heard so many people, I wish that had not happened. I wish I could do this. I wish I hadn't done that. Wishing all you want to does not address trouble, accidents, sickness, decisions, or bad news. I mean, you can wish, well, I could have wished a lot of things, but you have to handle reality. The third thing you can't do, you can't pretend that it's not happening. I've heard people say, I can't believe this is happening. Believe it. It is happening. But what do you do? There are things you can do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? A lot of people get to that point and they just make that statement, I don't know what to do. You have to do something. Because not doing anything is not going to help in any of those situations, whether it be trouble, accidents, sickness. And these are just a few things. Split decisions, bad news. None of those things that I said is going to erase those things. Not going to make them any better. Certainly not going to make them go away. I suggest that we must be somewhat prepared. Now, what does being prepared mean? When we prepare for all kind of things. We are preparing for the holidays, are we not? The holiday is not tomorrow, but we're already preparing. We're preparing for winter. I dressed this morning because it was cold. By noontime, I was pulling clothes off and having to go home and change because it was so hot, it done up to 72 degrees. But we prepare for those things, somewhat. And, you know, I suggest that we must be somewhat prepared for these situations. We can't be prepared necessarily to hear bad news. You can't regulate. You know what? I'm going to have this next week, and I'm just not going to have any bad news. You can't regulate that. You can't even regulate as much of the healthful things that you do, the many things that you take, the supplements, the vitamins, and all that's good and all that's wonderful, but you still, or we still can't regulate and say, you know what? I'm just not going to be sick again. That's not a reality statement. But I do suggest that we can be somewhat prepared. Not necessarily to hear the bad news, but we can be prepared when bad news or trouble comes. And the way we do that is doing it before the fact, not at the last minute. And that's what many times we as Christians do. We have the trouble, we immediately go to prayer. That is the obvious answer to what do we do when we don't know what to do. You know, you ask most people that, and they'll say, pray. Amen. Prayer is good, and we need to pray. But, you know, I would suggest that the prayer should come back over here before the trouble has even shown its ugly face. Being somewhat prepared. And then that's not going to mean that you're not going to have that trouble, but it means you're going to be somewhat prepared for that trouble down the road because you've already prayed and prepared, not expecting anything, but if it does happen, I will be prepared. Man. So we can also be prepared when bad news or trouble comes. We're able to prepare for all these other events in our life. We were riding today, and Penny wanted to go to the at home. You know, usually when she says, let's go at home, I head to the house. But there's a store that's called At Home. And that's where she wanted to go to look for some cushions or something. And we walked in. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is November, pre-Thanksgiving, correct? There were Christmas stuff all over the place. I mean, just gobs and gobs and gobs of Christmas things. You know why they do that? Because people are already preparing for the holidays. How many sales you think if they waited till December the 24th to put those things up and say, you know what, I hope somebody comes and buys some Christmas things today. Sometimes we treat God like that. We wait till the very last minute, or wait until the problem arises, wait till the trouble comes, wait till the sickness heals. You know what? There is not a thing in this world wrong with praying when you're perfectly healthy. Lord, I just thank you for healing me. I thank you for touching me. You know, Lord, and if sickness comes, Lord, I know you're going to see me through it. And then we're not as devastated when the sickness comes. We're not as devastated when the trouble arrives. We're not as devastated in accidents. When I'm talking about accidents, I'm not necessarily talking only about vehicle accidents. All kind of accidents are happening. You don't fall off the top of the ladder and say, man, I was planning on doing that. But when you fall, if you've already prayed, you said, Lord, then you're really praying on your way down. That's a quick prayer, by the way. But if you've already prayed in anticipation or thinking some of these things are going to come down the road, you're not as devastated. You're not as overwhelmed with these things. So what do? When you don't know what to do? The obvious answer, like I said, is to pray when bad things happen. I would encourage us to maintain a very vivid prayer life, a very functional prayer life. Pray each and every day. Not only, and I wrote this down, not only praying for things in the present, but praying for things in the future. Not only, Lord, help me through this night, but help me through this week. Help me through this year, Lord. And not just say, you know, that one weekly prayer, but a maintaining a prayer vigil before the Lord. If, in fact, trouble comes my way, keep me through it. Lord, if in fact sickness invades my home, give us, Lord, that ability to have faith to know that you're going to see us through these things. Now I want you to erase that, brother, if you would, and we're going to hit something a little bit different here. Same topic, just in a different format. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Many of us rush into it anyway. Doing something. You know, somebody once said, just do something even if it's wrong. No, that's not good. That's not a good advice. Because many times we make the situation worse by doing something. Just say we did something and actually made the situation worse. And we're not going to go into examples or any examples, but many times that is what happens. There's an old adage that says being reactive or being proactive. So being reactive is basically involves acting emotionally or acting by feelings. And sometimes being proactive is being spiritually prepared by faith in Christ to face any problem. So reacting is what we do as it approaches us. Being proactive is saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. Whether it's the sickness, the troubles, the problems, the situation. So put down reactive versus proactive. Not a show of hands, but how many times have we reacted to this situation because we react totally emotionally or by our feelings or by just spur-of-the-moment thoughts that happen to us. That's what happens. Proactive is being spiritually prepared by faith in Christ to face any problem. Being proactive actually incurs being prepared. Being prepared for whatever situation. So put for reactive, put acting on emotions or feelings. And being proactive is being spiritually prepared. Just put spiritually prepared. How can we be spiritually prepared? Certainly prayer and fasting, reading God's word, trusting, obeying. Amen. And what did, again, what did Jeremiah say? Blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, hopes in, and relies on the Lord. What did he say? He is like a tree. Strong roots, planted by the water, roots spreading out to the river, doesn't see or fear when heat comes, leaf remains green, not anxious or stressed, even in drought, keeps yielding fruit. Those are the things, the accolades, the characteristics of a blessed man. So he likens it like to a tree that's planted by the water. Some of these things really stood out to me. Basically, not only the strong roots. We need spiritually strong roots. Why? Because we know the winds and the storms are going to come against us. But that doesn't mean that we're totally beaten or totally stricken down, because of the roots is what keeps us strong. So what can we do when we don't know what to do? Trust in the roots. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the spiritual awakening of what God has already given us, and know that we can trust Him. Planted by the water, the living water, amen. The roots spreading out to reach toward the river. I like this. Doesn't see or fear when heat comes. Now, the heat there is associated with drought or the weather. Why? Because the roots are receiving the water or the nourishment. Spiritually, as Christians, we don't become anxious. We don't become stressed out when the heat comes. The heat can come in the form of sickness. It can come in the form of accidents. It can come in the form of all different things that we listed earlier. So we don't worry, we don't stress, and we don't get anxious when those things happen. And the leaf remains green. The praise still goes. We don't become anxious or stressed, and we keep yielding fruit. Stop and think it through. These are things that we can do. What to do? Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It also says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a time to walk. There's a time to run. There's a time to be still. You know, when Christ spoke to the sea, he said, peace, be still. Many, many times we just need to take a deep spiritual breath, look at the situation, analyze the situation before we ever make a decision. And I feel like I'm speaking to myself, because a lot of times we don't do that. We make the decision first, and then we ask Lord to please clear up the mess that I've just made. So stop and think it through. This was the analogy that I read. Suppose that you are driving down the interstate. You're listening to the radio, and you're having a good time worshiping and praising the Lord. And out of the clear, there was a transfer truck that was in front of you, and the tarp was not tied down or fastened down. The wind blows it, and the tarp completely blinds you because it comes across the windshield that you're driving. Do you immediately hit the accelerator? No. You quietly and easily, while you're freaking out, find a place to hit the brakes and get over out of the lane, and then you begin to make the decisions. You don't keep driving on. Think about that, how we handle emotions sometimes when we're blindsided. Do we stop? Do we rest? Do we relax? Do we see the situation, analyze the situation, and then make the decision? Or do we hit the accelerator and say, I hope this thing blows away, or hope it just flies off? There's a reason that when you lose your temper, it's called flying off the handle. You ever heard that terminology? That's when we don't stop. That's when we don't analyze. That's when we don't make a decision that is based on our best welfare. So then we wait, we rest, and we clear your mind. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever had, Lord, what? Just give me a minute. Take a deep breath and think about it. Think about it. Whatever it is. And know, based on the words of God and the promises of God, that He's not going to leave you, and He's not going to forsake you, and He will make a way even when there is no way. And we know His grace is sufficient. We know He will supply our need. But when the moment of those uninvited things happen, sometimes Satan doesn't want you to think on those. He wants you to react. And he wants you to lose it. and just go berserk because of this. You're not able to handle this situation when we need to wait a minute and get that tarp off of the windshield so we can see clearly again and we can make a right and rational decision on whatever it is that needs to be addressed. Don't be afraid to ask for help or guidance. One thing that I've learned over the years as a pastor, many times, because we have been saved for a number of years, because we're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, because we read the Bible and we pray and we fast, sometimes we think that people are going to feel less about us if we ask them for help or if we ask them for guidance or for assistance. I don't think there's a one of us alive today that's not going to need a little help every once in a while, whatever it is, whether it's a kind word, whether it's somebody to help you pray, whatever the situation is, somebody just maybe speak comfort to you. Have you ever had anybody in the church just kind of walk up to you and just give you a comforting word, and man, you hadn't had one all week and it feels so good? Don't be afraid to ask for help. And don't be afraid to ask for guidance. No one's going to think any less of you. No one's going to think, they shouldn't be thinking, oh my Lord, what have they done? People are so judgmental sometimes. Maybe it's not anything that they've done. They just are facing one of those turbulent times in their life. And they just need to rest and they just need to relax and they just need a friend to help them through this situation. So don't be afraid to ask for help or for guidance. This one thing stood out in my mind. Replace "I will" with "I can." Let me say that again. Replace the "I will" on these situations with "I can." Because "I will" kind of leaves loose ends. I will do better. I will pray more. I will do this. I will do that. But when "I can," that almost drives the point home and makes you feel obligated that "I can, through Christ, do all things." Amen. Can't do it on our own, but how many knows that through Christ we can do all things? So write that down if you would. Replace "I will" with "I can." Say that to yourself tonight. Just say that a couple of times. Come on, you can say it louder than that. Say, "I can. I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Amen. Satan doesn't like to hear that. He wants you to say, "Oh, you know, yeah, I know I'm not good," but when we say "I can," that makes that speaks something that's definite. We can. We can make it. We can overcome those things that I read to start with, those troubles, those sicknesses, those problems, those situations. Always be on the lookout for problems and troubles and avoid them as much as possible. You know, driving sometimes, if I'm to a place where I can exit off when I see men at work or these cones, many times I will avoid that because I don't want to stand in line. I don't want to wait. But many times when we do that, if we don't avoid them, we're stuck right in the middle. We're just fussing like crazy because we're having to wait. When there was a warning, come on, people. There was a warning down the road. You could have got off. You could have avoided that. How many has ever heard your parents say, "Don't you go there"? Maybe not talking about a physical place, but don't you get involved in that. Man, if you know that it's going to be controversial, if you know it's going to cause problems, you know, you might just want to avoid that. Come on. Be prepared. We talk about defensive driving all the time. That's the one thing that I wish was taught to all of our young drivers is defensive driving course. Whether they are the best driver in the world, you know, and they can obey the traffic, the laws, the speed limits and everything, but that doesn't necessarily mean that person in the other lane is doing so. And I've tried to tell folks, always watch. Always, you know, an intersection and you got the green light still, watch. How many knows there's people out there that just go flying by? You see, we saw two tonight when I stopped to get gas. And you know, again, that those things are happening in their
they're not scheduled. They're not supposed to happen, but they're happening. But if you see them, you can avoid them. And all I'm doing is trying to make the point, we can do that spiritually. What do you do when you don't know what to do? There's things that we can do. Being prepared. Don't let it hit you being unprepared. Don't let sickness come and you know, whoa, what in the world am I going to do? Or don't let this problem or troubles affect us in a way that we have nothing to do and nowhere to return, because we know who to turn to. Amen. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. And he invites us to come unto him. All that are heavy laden, and he will give us rest. Always be on the lookout for problems and troubles, and avoid them if possible. We might ought to write that down. Always be on the lookout. Always. What is always? 50% of the time? 70? You know, if you're looking for trouble, you'll find it too. That's a sure thing. But always be on the lookout for problems or troubles or trials, and avoid them if possible. Why not add if possible? Sometimes they're unavoidable. Sometimes they don't have the warning back down the road. Things happen. But if you're prayed up, if you're prepared spiritually, then you're not overwhelmed. This lesson tonight does not take away the fact that there will be problems. Does not promise you that there'll never be any more problems, no troubles or sickness or anything. But I believe this lesson does let us to know that there are things that we can do spiritually. There's things that we can do physically. There's things that we can do, amen, in preparation for those times that we have to face. Now, when we get over there, we're not going to have to worry about anything. But here in this world, here in this life, we need to be on the lookout for situations and not let them come crashing down on us. And here we are saying, what am I going to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? First thing, don't say, I don't know what to do. Because if we're prepared, if we have these things, you know, and it even goes as far as being physically prepared. People that live in the north, they constantly tell them, the things that they keep in their trunk because they might be caught in a blizzard. And you know what? They may go 6 months, they may go 2 years, they may go 10 years and not be caught in a blizzard. But the one time that they are, if they are adequately prepared, if they have some snacks, if they have some blankets, if they have some flashlights and batteries and things, then the problem is not near as bad. But if they're not prepared, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when I don't know what to do? And if we can apply that spiritually, don't be caught spiritually unprepared. Practice, here's what we need to do. Stay prayed up. Practice prayer for the future. I'm repeating this again. Practice prayer for the future as well as for the present. Certainly pray each and every day. But also say, Lord, if in fact these things come my way, help me to stand firm. Help me to stand strong. Help me to put my faith and trust in you. And never be caught unprepared. Amen. Isn't God great? Isn't God good? He lets us know that we can trust in him through all things. God bless you. We love you so very much. Would you stand tonight? Hope that we receive something from this. It's very encouraging to know that we're not alone. Every battle that we face, we're not alone. As Sister Jennifer sings, the battle's not ours. It belongs to him. So may God bless you. Would you bow your heads? And if you have a prayer need tonight, please come to the altar. I know this has been a different, eerie situation, but you know what? The God that I serve is just as real, just as mighty on Wednesday night as he is on any other night. Praise. Terry, so thankful for all who have served, thankful for those who are now serving, and we just pray that God would bless them, as and we never, ever forget the price that they paid. Some gave all, and we need to be thankful for that. Even today, when we see a person in a uniform, our hearts go out to them, and Trey has already learned, he'll say, Papa, can I go thank him, or can I go thank her? And we encourage him to do so. Yeah, absolutely. Our whole nation ought to be thankful for them. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the nation right now that we don't agree with. But we need to really, really honor our veterans. So tomorrow, let's remember the veterans. All right. Brother Jim, if you would dismiss us in prayer.
May God bless you, church.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. And I still believe one nation under God is what I stand for, and I know that we do as a church. All hearts and minds clear. So good to have y'all with us tonight. Those of you watching online, again, I know we say it each time, but I'm not being repetitive. I want to make sure if anyone's watching for the first time, if you have a prayer request, we do monitor it. Please put it in the comment section. We'll be glad to pray with you, because we believe in the Lord and Savior and all that He does in His name, Jesus, that we pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you again for this service, dear Lord, and for this message you brought forth. Dear Lord, that in our preparation of life, dear Lord, that we'll seek you and we'll put you first in everything that we do and everything that we are. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, for all the prayer requests that have gone forth this evening. Lord, we know that you're touching now for those that are traveling, those that are sick and shut in. But, dear Lord, we just praise your holy name. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. See y'all in Sunday school Sunday morning.